For the promise, Lord, that whenever two or three gather in your name, you are present, and today you are with us. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you have given me to be here, Lord, today with this wonderful congregation. Thank you for Pastor Rick and the ministry, Lord, that you call him to do here. I pray, Lord, for the leaders of this congregation, for the elders, the deacons, Lord, and everyone that you have called to lead in different ways. I pray, Lord, that this church will experience transformation, Lord, and I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be present in this place. Keep everybody healthy, keep everybody strong, and I pray, Lord, that they will have passion, Lord, for the ministry. I pray, Lord, that many, many people will be transformed in this community. I pray, Lord, that many people will be baptized, from children, young, older people, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that a special presence of your Spirit will be in this place every time, Lord, that the word is proclaimed in this place. Now, Lord, we're ready to hear what you have to say to us. I pray today, Lord, to speak to us because we are listening. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, this is a beautiful passage about hope. Hope is a beautiful word. Hope is one of the most amazing words in life. I love that word. I'm in love with hope. Because hope allows us to see the things that we might not see. You know, hope allows us to see the things that we cannot see with our eyes. You know, our eyes, you know, help us to see, but hope helps us to see farther than what our eyes can see. And I hope, you know, I always say, Lord, it would be awesome to have like a little machine to measure how much hope do we have. It's like when you measure your blood pressure, okay, you check and say, okay, well, how is my blood pressure doing today? You know, or the sugar in your blood, you check, okay, how much sugar do I have in my blood? I hope there was something to check how much hope do we have today. You know, in this world, we need a lot of hope for a lot of different reasons. And I love this letter from Peter. You know, Peter is one of those great leaders in the early church. Peter was, you know, with Jesus. And if you read the Gospels and you read all of the connections between Peter and Jesus and how they lived together. So now Jesus, you know, has died. Jesus has resurrected. Now the church continues to grow. And this letter was written about 30 years after the resurrection. So the church was a young church, you know, a young community of believers in Jesus Christ, a young group of people who embraced the proclamation of the good news, that experienced, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that some of these people, 30 years before, they saw the coming of the Holy Spirit as is described in the book of Acts. Remember when Pentecost happened? And Pentecost will take place in a few weeks, next month. So many of these people, they experience, I'm sure, Pentecost. This is the generation that really experienced, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit, a generation that Jesus says, remain here because you will receive power, right? That's what the passage, that's what the text says. Remain here because you will receive power. And then you will be my witnesses, right? That's what the book of Acts talks about. You know, when Jesus, before ascending into heaven, he called his followers and said, you know, the transformation that will happen in this place is not a political transformation. So the Roman Empire will always be here. I'm sorry if you were hoping that the Roman Empire will be gone. I'm sorry. The Roman Empire will continue to be here. right? Because they were hoping for a political transformation. And Jesus said, you know, the transformation that is happening is not a political transformation. It's a transformation of the heart, which is way deeper than a political transformation. So these are the people that experience, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit. These are the people that saw the coming of the Holy Spirit, but this is 30 years later. And now they are experiencing persecution, right? That's what's happening right now. You know, the Roman Empire is not happy with this group of people because they are not calling the emperor king. They are calling another king. His name is Jesus. Right? The emperors, the Roman Empire, are not happy with that. Are not happy with that because something is going on with these people. What is going on? And you know what's going on? Is that these people were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because it is only when we are empowered with the presence of the Holy Spirit is that we can do what God calls us to do. Only when that happens is that we are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. So Peter write this letter to encourage them, encourage them. Especially these churches were in Asia Minor, you know, and that's where Peter write this letter, because life was hard for them, as it is hard for us today. How do you cling to hope when your life is undergoing all kinds of trials? How do you cling to hope? You know, when you see all around you going in the wrong direction, how do you cling to hope when you visit your doctor and gives you a really bad news about your health? How do you cling to hope when that happens? What do you do when life seems to have more questions than answers? What do you do with that? And what does Scripture say about that? You know, we as Christians believe that this is God's word. Amen? Right? This is the word of the Lord for us. And Jesus has promised to be with us always to the ends of the age. But what happened when the reality that we're living doesn't seem like Jesus is with us? What happens with that, you know, when that happens? So this morning we're talking about hope. But we're not talking about the world's version of hope. We're talking about a different kind of hope. And I pray, Lakeview Community Church, that you will grow in hope. I pray that hope will be a reality for you. I know that this congregation has gone through many years of ministry, and some of you have been here for a long time. I'm sure about that. Some of you are just beginning to connect to this community. Some of you have seen really good days for Lakeview Community Church. And maybe today and last week and last month, those days are no longer with us. And then some might be losing hope. Today, I want to strengthen your hope. That's what I want to do. Today, I want to share with you this word that is really important so that you can hold on to hope, not only about your church, but also about life. You know, the things, the trials that so many times we face in life are really important to help us grow. So this passage talks about three elements of hope that I want to highlight to you this morning about this. And number one, this passage talks about, in Peter, in this passage talks about our salvation. So we have hope because of our salvation. It is clear in this passage. Peter says, praise be to the God Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Jesus Christ from the dead. So the resurrection that we celebrated a couple weeks ago, you know, is an affirmation of our salvation. That is a beautiful thing. So Peter is writing to them and say, you know, remember, don't forget that Jesus came to this world, died on the cross, and on the third day he rose again. And because of that resurrection, our salvation is secure. And I love when Peter talks about the mercy of God. So we are saved because of the mercy of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So we're saved not because we are good people, or we are smart people, or we have money, or we are good looking. We're not saved because of that. All of those are good things. You know, it's good to be good looking. It's good to have resources. But that's not the reason why we're saved. So Peter said, remember that Jesus came to this world. He died on the cross. So that the death and the resurrection of Jesus are a strong affirmation of our salvation. And it is because the abundant mercy of God. So our God is a merciful God. And everyone in our community needs to hear that. Everyone in our community needs to hear that. And that's a really important reform understanding of Scripture. We are saved because of the grace of God, not because we have done a lot of good things, which is good, okay? It's okay to be nice people, to do a lot of good things, but that is not the reason we are saved. And Peter is saying here, remember that God is merciful with you. So in the midst of the persecution that you are going through, and Peter, this is what Peter is saying, don't lose hope, because God is with you. You are not alone when you're going through this challenging time. God is with you. If you're facing a medical situation, you are not alone. God is with you, and his mercy is true forever. And the mercies of God are new every single day. So, because of our salvation, we do not have simply hope. We have a living hope. You know, it's not just a hope that tomorrow dies. We have a living hope. And I love when Peter talks about this, because this is the kind of hope that we need to embrace every day. A hope that is alive, a hope that is living, and a hope that is real for us. And our hope is assured because Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, because of the resurrection of Jesus is that we can have living hope. That's why I was saying today, I wish we could have something to measure hope. But you know what? Hopes, you can explain how much hope do you have when you speak. So my encouragement to you is that before you say any word, think about what you're saying. And just say, Lord, is this word full of hope, or is my word full of despair? Because you can have despair and you can have hope. What are the things that our people are listening? When you have a congregational meeting, what kind of things you say for the future of this church? When you talk to your kids, what are they listening to you? When you talk to your friends, what are they hearing from you? So Peter is saying, you know what? Even though you are going through this challenging time in life, even though you are going through persecution, hope is alive because of the resurrection of Jesus. So it is so crucially important for us to know that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. It is so foundational. The resurrection is really important. It is really important to give us the kind of hope that we need today. You know, the hope that we need today is so important. If you read the news, just, you know, watch the news, and you can see a world that really needs a lot of hope. You know, politics in the U.S. right now, again, I'm not a politician, and you know, I have my own opinions about that. But I can see the things that are going on today. I say, Lord, we need a lot of hope. We need your presence in this place right now. We need a lot of hope in our country. We need a lot of hope in the world. You know, when you see situations that are going on in different places and you say, why is that? You know, I remember wars around the world when I was a little kid. I remember the civil war in Nicaragua. I remember that. And I was a young kid like the kids that were here today listening to the sermon. I was a little boy like that. And now I'm in my 50s and I continue to see the same reality of the world. So I said, Lord, we need a lot of hope. And you know what? Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected again. And that's why we have a lot of hope. And that's why Peter said, Jesus is giving you living hope because he rose from the dead. And we preached 2 weeks ago about the resurrection. Remember? So we preach about that. We read about it. And every year we talk about the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive, and that's why we have hope. And that's why we have the living hope. Another aspect of hope that Peter talks about in this passage is that we have hope because of our inheritance. So first, Peter talks about our salvation. You know, we are saved. Jesus came into the world. He died on the cross and he rose again. And that gives us a lot of hope. Another piece that Peter talks in this passage is about our inheritance. Verse 4, listen to what it says. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Amen. Right? This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You know, I know some people that have inherited a lot of money from their parents who passed away, and they lost everything. I know some people like that, because they were not good administrators like their parents were. So they receive an inheritance, and now the inheritance is gone. But this is a different kind of inheritance, right? And Peter said, you know what? You have hope because of the inheritance that we have received from our Father. So this inheritance, and these are the qualities of this inheritance that we have received. You know, it can never perish. So our inheritance cannot be corrupted or killed. It can never fade away. You cannot do that. There is no way for our inheritance to fade away. There is no way that we will spend our inheritance, because the inheritance is kept in heaven. This is a beautiful thing. It is so beautiful that we have hope because we have received a spiritual inheritance and is kept in heaven for us. Isn't that amazing? That, you know, when I think about these things and I read these passages, these letters, you know, from the Bible, and I receive that, and I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, because I don't need to be a good administrator. I just need to be a faithful person. Right? That's all I need to do. I don't need to be a good administrator, because, you know, my inheritance is not about money in the bank. My inheritance is about peace in my heart, which is more important. I know a lot of people with a lot of money that don't have peace in their hearts. So our inheritance is not about anything material. It's not about money. It's not about resources. It's not about that. It's about peace in our hearts. And you know what? When you have peace in your heart, you have a lot of hope. You know, in the midst of the most challenging times of life, we need peace in our hearts. And Peter says, you know, your inheritance will not fade away. The inheritance that you have received as a faithful follower of Jesus is not going to go away because it's kept for you safe. It is safe. Now, the big question for us this morning is, do you believe that? That's a big question. Because our journey is a journey of faith. It's a journey about believing. It's a journey about that connection with God. It's a journey that is based in our hearts, in our relationship with God. That is the inheritance we have received. You know, the inheritance doesn't mean that you're going to go after church to check your bank account and say, okay, oh, that's the inheritance I received from God. I see here all of the money that God deposited into my account. No, Peter is talking about an inheritance that is kept in heaven that gives us hope, that gives us peace in our hearts. And the result of this inheritance is joy. How joyful are you? It's joy. It is so important to have joy in the midst of the darkest days. What does peace mean? Do I have peace when I'm healthy? Do I have peace when I have, you know, my bank account is looking great? Or do I have peace in the midst of the darkest days? You know, real peace is experienced when you can smile in the midst of the darkest days. That's when peace, the real peace, you know, is demonstrated. So the result of the inheritance is peace in our hearts and smile in our faces. And it's about joy. It's about joy. It's about hope. It's about joy. So when I began serving as General Secretary of the Reformed Church, I am honest with you, I did not want to do that. Why? Well, because I saw a lot of divisions. And I said, Lord, I don't understand why the church is fighting all the time about this. It doesn't make any sense to me, you know, when I read this book, which is the book that I love and the book that I have decided to base my life on. You know, it talks about unity, talks about love, talks about grace, talks about acceptance, talks about belonging. And then I see a lot of difficult conversations in the church. And I say, Lord, I don't want to do that, so it's time for me to move on. And I was praying to God. I say, Lord, South Florida sounds like a great place for me. And I think you're going to be sending me to, you know, West Palm Beach. That sounds amazing, Lord, for me. I've been a church planter my whole career. I can do that. No problem. I will establish a community of faith. I will proclaim the good news with boldness and grace. And I'm sure that we're going to do great. I just need to raise some money to move to Florida. I'm going to do that. These Reformed Church people are fighting a lot. I don't want to do that. But then God called me. What do you do when God calls you? And I say, yes, Lord. I'll be faithful to you. So I've been 7 years and things are going good. But the joy is so important. In the midst of the darkest day, joy is important. And finally, the third aspect that Peter talks about, you know, I told you that Peter talks about salvation. Peter talks about our inheritance that we have. And the final aspect that Peter talks in this passage is that we have hope because of our trials. Like, okay, Eddie, what are you talking about here? We have hope because I'm going through a really hard time. Yes. That's how God works. That's how God molds us. You know, when you are building something, you use the hammer, you use nails. That's how God works. That's how God gives us the form that we need. Trials are necessary. I don't like trials. I'm with you. I don't like trials either. I don't like those hard days. I don't like to go through the darkest valleys. I'm with you. I don't like that. But hear what Peter says in verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. These have come, the trials, so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So God deems necessary to try your faith. God deems necessary to try our faith. And these difficult seasons of life are necessary. If I ask you, can you share some difficult times in your life? All of us will raise our hands, right? All of us will raise our hands because those are necessary. I don't like them. And I'm sure you don't like them either. So don't allow those experiences to kill your hope. Don't allow that. Always remember that those are experiences necessary to strengthen your hope. And this is what Peter is saying. But Peter, what are you talking about? This is the persecution. These people are killing us. And Peter said, those are necessary to strengthen your faith. So will you place your faith in God and found your hope in Him? And this is the question I'm asking you. I don't know what trials are you going through today. Will you place your hope and your faith in the Lord Jesus? Will you experience the grace available to you so you can have a living hope? Friends, God has promised to be with us. Jesus Christ came to this world, died on the cross, and resurrected on the third day. He has given us an inheritance of hope and peace and joy. And that's where we need that peace. We need to always remind God, say, Lord, you have given me my inheritance, and I need to put that into practice today that I'm experiencing this hard time. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the blessing of your presence today. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your promise that you are with us. Thank you for the salvation, Lord, that we have received through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you will allow us, Lord, to have hope in the midst of a challenging season. Challenging season, Lord, in our nation, in the world. And sometimes, Lord, a challenging time in our own lives where we experience all kinds of trials, financial trials, health trials, Lord, family trials, and all different kinds of trials, Lord. I pray for us today. Thank you for your word that speaks to us. I pray that your presence will continue to be with us. I pray, Lord, that you will be strengthening the health and the blessing of this congregation. And I pray, Lord, that that we will experience your presence in a really special way. I pray, Lord, today, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.